The Clare Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.
We had the Six Nations excitement, which continues, the FA Cup upsets and chaos in the Old Firm. And I'm joined now by Off the Ball's Owen Sheehan. Hello, Owen.
Hi, Claire.
So it all turned on its head, rugby-wise, didn't it, over the weekend?
It did. People were talking about this as one of the best Six Nations in history before the weekend. And I think it's probably gone past that point after what we saw, particularly on Saturday, too. Big enough upsets, I think it's fair to say. A lot of people would have been very interested in seeing what Italy could have done to England anyway. Maybe it didn't surprise a whole pile of people in terms of the performance that Italy put in and how poor England are. But Scotland beating France, I think, is the big one on Saturday afternoon. Scotland looked really good against England, but obviously they were beaten by Italy, and Wales should have beaten them the previous round. So Scotland are probably the most, they're the hardest team in world sport, I think, to figure out. I can't really think of anybody else that comes to mind. Maybe the Mayo GAA team of the 2010s, where they ultimately don't get over the line, but they come up with a couple of big results to keep you invested and keep you interested in this team. That's what the Scotland team is right now.
It's exciting though, isn't it? Because of that, you know, unpredictability, or, you know, you can't frame them. There's no neat box to put them.
No, it's impossible. Now, they are in the hunt for the championship this weekend, and it feels a neat prediction to suggest that they won't get the job done this weekend. But obviously, we'll be reticent to say that because we'll be looking at this from a very Irish standpoint, and we'll have our own paranoia going into the game as Irish people on Saturday afternoon. But if you look at it coldly, a team that has done what Scotland have done to England and to France, they should be in the running to win the Six Nations Championship. Now, both Scotland and Ireland are going to need a big favour from England in Paris on Saturday. And that perhaps is the most fanciful thing that you could possibly say, that that's going to happen, because England just look a rabble at the moment. The RFU have had to come out over the course of the weekend and publicly back Steve Borthwick. Such is the noise around his position right now. I'm not necessarily sure they needed to do that. I think nobody...
It makes it worse for them, really, doesn't it?
It is the dreaded sort of seal of approval that tends to precipitate a manager getting sacked in the Premier League. I think nobody thought that he'd lose his job before this final game, but the RFU are kind of doubling down now and saying that they want to back him beyond this summer, crucially not backing him till the next World Cup. I'd be surprised at this point if Borthwick is their head coach going into the 2027 World Cup, but he has turned it around in the past. I think this is possibly a deeper hole that he finds himself in now.
Yeah, I mean, what if they had? They've had three, they've lost a third straight game,
yes,
and losing to Italy.
Like, for the first time ever.
For his own sake, maybe, when the campaign is over, he might just,
He's a belligerent man and he's a stubborn man. I'm not sure if he's going to make that decision himself. Oh. And there might be contractual aspects at play there as well. I just think that he's not provided this England team with the platform to go and succeed. I think that the style of play looked really good in November, and it looked like, you know, he was a bit of a genius given the way the game had changed and England seemed to be kind of leading the vanguard on it. But it might actually, this is going to sound harsh, but it might actually just be a situation where, you know, a broken clock is right twice a day. I think it just worked when people were still figuring out how to work with the new escorting laws in terms of kicking in the game of rugby. I think that suited this Borthwick style of play. Once it's come to the Six Nations and people have delved a little deeper into the tape, they've been figured out.
Okay, let's go to what happened between Celtic and Rangers or after the match. Now, what happened was I saw Martin O'Neill talking about this afterwards, and he said, I had to go into a dark room or a room on my own because my heart was going much faster than a 74-year-old's man's heart should be. I was going, what happened here? Then I saw the pictures of what happened with the pitch invasion at the end. Crazy scenes, right?
Yeah, and it could have been so much worse as well. So this is the first time that Celtic have been allowed their full complement of 7,500 fans at the Broomloan Road stand in Ibrox. So that had been reduced to 1,000 since 2018. So they've gone back on that as of this weekend. I suspect they're probably going to reverse going back on that after what we saw. As I say, you have both sets of fans encroaching onto the field. I'm not quite sure what actually managed to de-escalate this, because it looks like a situation where you're going to have a full-on conflict between these two sets of fans. Incredible work by the stewards, I guess, to actually save the situation from full-on physical altercations between
Except
the sets of fans.
It shouldn't have happened in the first place.
It shouldn't have happened in the first place, obviously. And there was projectiles, there was missiles thrown. But if that had happened, where the stewards managed to allow both sets of fans to engage with one another on a physical level, if there was hand-to-hand combat on that field, that would have been a disaster yesterday. Mm-hmm. It would have been an absolute disaster. So I'm not quite sure how they managed to avoid it. I think possibly the Celtic staff, Celtic players, had a few strong words with some Celtic fans. Maybe word got around, get back into the stand.
Well, and one of the players did a post-match interview, and forgive me now for not knowing his name, but he had a bloodied shirt afterwards.
Aravo, which I think it was, yeah.
Suggested that he was right in the middle of the fray and yes. maybe had a hand to play in stopping it, dare I say. I don't know. I mean,
there might have been something going on down the tunnel as well. Now, I think police might be looking at video footage. I think perhaps between players and from opposing sides as well as just fans. So I think there's going to be further investigations into this. It becomes a bigger talking point as well because the game of football was absolutely dreadful. It was a nil-all draw. Celtic, one shot on goal, no shot on target. They end up taking the game to penalties, happy enough to take the penalties, I suspect, and they end up winning 4-2 to qualify for the Scottish Cup semi-final. But Rangers, they really should have won that game. They should have knocked Celtic out of the cup, and it looks like it's going to be Celtic who go all the way in this competition. And it's a competition they really need to win after the situation has unfolded in the Scottish Premiership, where Hearts look like they're not going to bottle it.
Mm-hmm. So in the FA Cup then, there was a couple of giant killings at the weekend.
Yeah, like, I mean, if you want to call Fulham a giant, maybe you could
we
say.
Will,
yeah.
Sure. Fits the narrative, come on.
Fulham and Sunderland, the two Premier League teams to have gone down to opposition from lower divisions. So Port Vale beat Sunderland, Fulham going down at home to Southampton. Obviously really disappointing for both of these clubs, but particularly for a club like Fulham, who seem to have had their Premier League status secured over the past couple of years and really could have gone deep into this competition, I think, especially when they get a home draw against a Championship team. They're thinking to themselves, why can't we do a Crystal Palace of last year? Why can't we be that team who are a Premier League mainstay that can go all the way to Wembley in the semi-finals and the finals? So that, you know, speaking of bottle jobs, that's a really, really poor result from Fulham yesterday. The Sunderland thing, I guess the story there really is Port Vale. They haven't been in the last eight of the FA Cup since 1953-54, since that season, and it's only their second ever time getting into the last eight. So they're bringing their romance. They are the romance of the FA Cup at this stage. You were kind of hoping that maybe Wrexham would hold on against Chelsea after making a great start on Saturday afternoon. They end up losing 4-2. Arsenal with a very scratchy win over Mansfield Town. So Wrexham and Mansfield, they would have been extraordinary stories had they got the job done on Saturday. But Chelsea and Arsenal just had enough of them in the end.
Okay, and there's plenty to seek out in the Champions League over the coming week.
Absolutely. So it is back tomorrow evening, Galatasaray versus Liverpool at 5:45. So make sure you're at the TV early for that if you're a Liverpool fan. Newcastle versus Barcelona. Atletico Madrid versus Spurs is just going to be this fascinating two-legged affair where Tottenham have their own melodrama going on at home. And maybe the Champions League, which in theory is a bigger competition, is going to be a bit of a reprieve from the pressure from them when they go to the Wanderers.
Save them.
Maybe, yeah, just a little bit of a distraction. You've got PSG, Chelsea, Real Madrid versus Manchester City on Wednesday as well. Two absolutely cracking ties. Madrid, Manchester City, that they've thrown up some crackers over the last couple of years. So that's going to be the tie of the round, I dare say.
Okay, and I mentioned then for what happened in GAA over the weekend. There's so much going on that, you know, it deserves more than a footnote, but yeah. That's what we're going to do today.
Well, two things on this. The Cork versus Limerick game and the Galway versus Kilkenny game are the two key points from the hurling weekend. Ben O'Connor's first defeat as Cork boss going down to Kilkenny's or to a Limerick side who look like they're getting back to their best at the moment. They've got Aidan O'Connor, who has played in previous seasons for Limerick, don't get me wrong, but it feels like it's his breakout year. He's taken up the frees. He scored 1-11 against Cork at the weekend. He's never started a Munster round robin game in the Championship. That's going to change next month. I think that's a fair assumption to make. He's been brilliant. I mean, this Limerick attack in particular, starting to click into gear. Cathal O'Neill was really good on Saturday evening, scoring 1-2. But O'Connor was saying, I was delighted with the performance, not the results. Then Kilkenny versus Galway. This was absolutely extraordinary. Kilkenny's heaviest defeat in league or Championship since the 1950s. So
what's going on?
Galway 35 points, Kilkenny 17 at Pearse Stadium on Saturday. Totally unacceptable is how Derek Ling describes it. What is going on is the key question. Conceding 35 points is the big problem there. When we speak about Limerick's forwards clicking into gear, it feels that Kilkenny's forwards have been the department that has been most under the microscope in this league so far. Liam Sheedy a few weeks ago was very critical of them not having a marquee name up there who can do damage on the scoreboard. I think their rear guard is where the focus needs to lie at this point because you can't be conceding 35 points.
Would you like to mention Laois winning, beating Meath by 17 points?
A big result for a great day for the parish, is that what we're saying?
A great day for the county. I just think that it shouldn't go unsaid.
Absolutely, absolutely. And we'll have the National Football League, of course, back this weekend. least trying to keep on the heels of those trying to get promotion from Division 3.
Can we do a deal? We'll only mention them after the games that they've won, right? I think that's the best way to,
that's it.
To handle this.
We'll do a bumper Division 3 preview on Friday as well, and we can say no more about it if Leash end up getting beaten heavily at the weekend.
I'm all in for that. Thanks, Owen. Thanks so much.
The Clare Byrne Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekday mornings at 9 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.